like a footstool.
Not a footstool, but a wooden or a cushion.
This is
a
warm one. No bluish one. Unfortunately,
anything below 30 degrees is cold for me. By virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yogic principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above just one, just for the insulation. Always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. And then, Prabhupada writes in the purport, advanced yogis are not very much attracted to the rituals of the scriptures, but they automatically become attracted to the yoga principles, which can elevate them to complete Krishna consciousness, the highest yoga perfection. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, such disregard of Vedic rituals by the advanced transcendentalist is explained as follows. Aho batasva pachito gariyan yajiva dhi vartate nam kubhyam te pustapaste jhugu shashnuraja brahmana churnam bhatinanti chete. O my Lord, persons who chant the holy names of your Lordship are far, far advanced in spiritual life, even if born in families of dog eaters. Such chanters have undoubtedly performed all kinds of austerities and sacrifices, bathed in all sacred places, and finished all scriptural studies. The famous example of this was presented by Lord Chaitanya, who accepted Thakur Haridas and one of his most important disciples. Although Thakur Haridas happened to take his birth in a Muslim family, he was elevated to the post of Namacharya by Lord Chaitanya due to his rigidly attended principle of chanting 300,000 holy names of the Lord daily. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And because he chanted the holy name of the Lord constantly, it is understood that in his previous life he must have passed through all the ritualistic methods of the Vedas known as Shabda Brahma. Unless, therefore, one is purified, one cannot take to the principles of Krishna consciousness or become engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
I don't know
that. Hare Krishna was Prabhupada's exclamation of this referred to. Hare Krishna mantra again. It's too cool down there. Different statements like this, just like here, someone who chants the holy name of the Lord is above all the rituals. But that means chanting without offense, not just anyone who's chanting. And then Srila Prabhupada said, someone who's come to that perfectional stage of being able to chant actually without offense, that either he's actually performed those activities, or he may not perform, because one can achieve that type of perfection. First of all, it's not dependent on that type of perfection, not dependent on performing Vedic rituals. Chanting Hare Krishna purely, it is dependent upon good association, associating with advanced Vaishnava. And by their grace, then, one can actually chant Hare Krishna purely. But that is equivalent to everything. Both the pure chanting and the benefit of sadhu sangha is equivalent to all other sacrifices, rituals, highest activities, and so on. It's more. Because by chanting Hare Krishna, one can actually achieve all spiritual perfection. Ritualistic activities are only meant to regulate people and purify their heart, but it will not make people perfect. It will just qualify them for devotional service. So bhaktyama nakjanati. People want to know Krishna, and there's only one way to know Krishna. Krishna says bhaktyama tattvataha. If you want to know Krishna tattvataha in truth, then this is the way. Chanting is bhakti. Ritualistic activities depends on who performs it, but generally people who perform those activities for the sake of the rituals are not pure Vaishnavas. But here, anyway, the answer is to the question of what happens to someone if he performs some type of yogi brahmacharya. If he performs some kind of yogic activity, it can mean anything. It can mean that he was a hatha yogi. It can mean that he's a devotee. But he actually hasn't achieved perfection. Perfection for a devotee is one thing. Perfection for some other type of yogi means they achieve the perfection of their yoga, and ultimately somehow that brings them to devotional service. It brings them to bhakti. They continue. Krishna's already hinted at that earlier on in the second chapter, where he says, "Svalpam api asya dharmasya prayati mahato bhaya." It's such just a little devotional activity that will keep trying. This is not the manner. Just the. I told them that we were headed back to the manor yesterday. And so svalpam api asya dharmasya, even a little advancement, that will protect people prayati mahato bhaya from the worst thing that can happen. What's the worst thing that can happen? Then you wasted your life. That's the worst thing. You said there's no benefit. You're just born, you live, you die. And on top of that, you go to hell. That's even worse. But at least in a pious civilization, even if you don't go to hell, but you wasted it, you don't get a good destination either. So what was the use? But he says, svapa mapyasa dharmasya, just a little svapa, a little dharma. And try to, and that will actually protect one from all kinds of bad results, from actually having wasted time. But in either just following Vedic rituals, whatever the particular motive is, the benefits retain and one continues to advance in spiritual life. One moves forward. And if one has performed devotional service, and generally Srila Prabhupada is referring to Vaishnavas, if one is moving forward in devotional service, or gives exactly you achieve 10% perfection, then you continue from 10%. And that's a good thing, because otherwise you have to start from scratch. Then it's why Krishna is giving us that protection. So if someone is actually already automatically, just like here it says, purva abhyasa, from previous practice, automatically someone's already attracted, then it must mean that there's something happening very naturally, and devotees have that experience. You know, when I had some experiences when I was reading Krishna book, because at the time when I started coming to Krishna consciousness, there were no hardbound Bhagavatams. Bhagavatams were printed sort of chapter by chapter in softbound version. Prabhupada printed them, and I was like second, third canto. The Krishna book was actually the first hard books that came, and then after that came first canto, second canto, third canto, part one. And I remember a couple, I remember Mother Yashoda Leela. Me and my wife used to read it, because I was still married at that time. We used to read it together. And it was the story about tying, and I said, just wait a minute. She said, I know the story. And then I knew the story, and the other one was looking, Mother Yashoda looking into Krishna's mouth. And I knew that, and I phoned up my mother. I said, you ever read me stories? Listen to them, last thing I'll read to you is anything about Krishna. But I knew the story. I could tell us, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get the ropes, and there's not enough rope to tie it together. And so then when I was reading, and I was going to see what Prabhupada talks about, then of course other devotees had the same experience. Tarun, close the door. Tarun, close the door. So the speakers arrived. And the devotees have that experience. Sometimes they may have it in sort of different ways. And that is that Krishna consciousness seems like so natural and so easy. And then all of a sudden it's like bumping into a brick wall. And that's where you left off. And Krishna's explaining that because one's purva karma, or in terms of previous activities, whatever it may have been spiritual activities, it may have been just some kind of purificatory activity, it all accumulates, especially in Kali Yuga, because no one's making it generally in one go, unless they have to follow Prabhupada's instructions, then it works. And that was sort of Prabhupada's guarantee, that just do these simple things and you can go back to Godhead in one life, in one lifetime. Otherwise, look at the example of Bharat Maharaj. He's an ordinary person. King, who is already a very, very advanced devotee. He wasn't a yogi, he wasn't a jnani, he was a pure devotee. But he got distracted. And then next he becomes a deer. And it's only after that, only at the third life, that then he comes to actually being Jadbhara. And then he already, like, born a Paramahansa. Actually, Bharat Maharaj was already, let's say, a Paramahansa. He's already on the spiritual platform. He's on the platform of Bhava is where he fell down from, which is rare. It only happens by Krishna's special arrangement. Krishna can do that to devotees. doesn't happen by accident, because on the spiritual platform you can fall down unless you commit some Vaishnava apparat, but he didn't do that. But he neglected his devotional practices. He was inattentive. So he's the example of what happens if you're inattentive. He used to be absorbed in very deep sadhana, and he would be exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. But he got attracted to a deer. He didn't get attracted to an apsara. He didn't get attracted. He got attracted to a deer. And Krishna has a sense of humor. Because, you know, it's a pretty insignificant thing to get attached to. So he got attached to this little deer. And so he was taking care of it, and because the mother died. So he took care of the little deer, and he would feed it and so on. And of course, you know, deers don't respect anybody's sadhana or practices. So when he was sitting meditating, then the deer would come up and start to nudge him. And when he felt the nudging of the deer, he started thinking in his mind. And just like he can think in the sitting there chanting japa, maybe you hear your baby crying in the distance, or immediately the mind just goes off to that sound. And what should I do? And where are they? How are they? So then he got distracted. And this is actually, even in one sense, really quite a secondary issue, because if someone has become that developed or advanced in Krishna consciousness, then his spiritual life doesn't necessarily depend upon sadhana. That's why it's a sort of a special arrangement, like that of Maharaj Chitraketu, who was even more advanced. And he had to take birth not as a deer, he had to take birth as a demon. He was on the platform of prema, but there he apparently committed an offense to Lord Shiva. And that, so his example is the example of taking another birth because you offend a Mahabhagavata. Actually didn't commit it. But Parvati, she took it as an offense that he's laughing. Because Lord Shiva was sitting on the Vyasa Sangha giving Bhagavatam class and had his wife in his lap. So that's not generally the way people give Bhagavatam class. But he can do whatever he wants because he's Lord Shiva and no one else. And he thought, he laughed because of how wonderful Lord Shiva is, that he can do this. There's no good Shri Goswami. He wouldn't allow any women in the assembly what to speak of for the Lord Shiva, he'll sit with his wife on his lap. Parvati took it that he's making fun of him. So she cursed him. And he just accepted it. That's a real Vaishnava. He didn't say, call the CPO, call the GBC, make a judicial official, I'm appealing this case. He just came, he bowed down to his mother. Whatever you want to give, I'll just accept. Because she's not ordinary, so it must be this is Krishna's will. And it wasn't that, you know, he just became like here, that Suchinam Srimatam Gehe, he took birth, and if he took birth as a demon. So he became a bishop, and he ended up fighting with the demigods. So he accepted it. So he's an example of committing offense, although actually devotees of that stature don't commit such offenses. And here's an example of being inattentive in devotional life. Not practicing devotional service properly. Chanting inattentively. Hearing inattentively. Any of these activities. So this is Pramata. Prabhupada lists it as the 11th offense, and he says that it's all the other ones are born from this. This is the root of all the other offenses, and they're also contained in it. So we have that same phenomenon, being inattentive. Why? Because Kali-yuga means that people's minds are mandā, sumandā, distracted, and become easily distracted. So being distracted isn't the offense of inattentiveness, because that's happening all the time, every moment it's happening. Being distracted, inattentiveness means that when you're distracted, you prefer to meditate on the other thing, and you allow this devotional activity to just continue automatically. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but you know, I'm watching TV, or I'm just listening to my mind. But my mind is automatically going to butt in and say something is one thing, but I say no, and I continue to try to listen to the holy name, that's fine. But when, and after a while devotees become expert in the very beginnings, sometimes people can't even pronounce the mantra, they say other things, but after a while you sort of get it down, you can like chant Hare Krishna in your sleep. So you can just put it on automatic pilot and just like chant, and but the mind may be going in so many other places. So Nana Kora Bhagi Kora, but you know, Kakura says, but that name that you're chanting, that may not be Krishna's name. It may spell like it, it may sound like it, it may look like it, but Krishna won't come. If I'm fidgeting and talking, Hari Das, you know, I really appreciate everything that you're doing for me, but I don't look at him, then he's just thinking, this guy's ignoring me. He won't listen, he won't take it seriously. So similarly, we're calling Krishna. But at the same time, I'm listening to my mind, I'm doing so many other things, I'm being distracted, then why would Krishna come? And while actually Krishna even manifests on my tongue in the form of real transcendental sound vibration. So the words, the letters of the Hare Krishna mantra, like we have written out, is not necessarily the Hare Krishna mantra. It can't be, it depends on the consciousness. If our consciousness is pure, then yes. Gopeshwar Das Babaji, one of his many, because he was a Siddha Mahatma, and people would come to him for different things. And the general tradition of Babaji's is, you know, you have, aside from chanting Hare Krishna, you have the Siddha Pranali, which includes chanting some other mantra, Siddha mantra, as well as certain type of meditation upon one's sort of idealized spiritual form and so on. Anyway, to one person who asked about all of these details, his reply was, he says, you forget about it, your Siddha Deha. He says, you just meditate on the letters of the holy name and your Siddha Deha will be revealed. So with the right consciousness, then the letters of the holy name are the holy name. With the wrong consciousness, they're not. It's like going to time. The people with the wrong consciousness, they're statues. People with the right consciousness, they're not even devis. They're going to time. So that's what our movement's about. It's about consciousness. And consciousness really is what is something that really affects, what determines reality. So even nuclear physicists, they recognize the fact that particles, subatomic particles, react to the consciousness of the person who's looking. So it's different than how you're looking at it, and that's how it's also going to behave. You know, if that's, in other words, that reality is not just a matter of Planck's formula, and it's not just a matter of electrons and atoms, but it's also consciousness of the observer determines actually the reality that he perceives. And that's what Krishna consciousness is about. If you're Krishna conscious, then Krishna says earlier on, he says that Yoma Pashyat Sarvatra Sarvam Chamali Pashyat. Then you see Krishna everywhere. So, Ramananda Roy, you didn't just see Krishna in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Lord Chaitanya said, well, you see Krishna in me because of Mahabhagavat. He sees Krishna on the wall, he sees Krishna everywhere, so obviously you see Krishna in me as well. So that means Krishna's everywhere. If your consciousness is like that, if your consciousness is not, then you can't see Krishna even in a day. Well, how do you know this is God? So Purva Abhyasa, previous devotional activities, Jignasu Api Yogasya, then automatically he becomes inquisitive. People come. They see a devotee on the street and they follow. Why is it some people follow and some people don't? And as people say, they hear. I mean, hear the sound vibration. It's like I remember this from somewhere, but I don't know where. And then they become inquisitive. So, artha jignasura artha ti, here also, jignasura pijogasya. So people become inquisitive. So it's reawakening. And of course that's reassuring, that even if for some reason we commit a blunder, and the risk of blunder is always there, as it was with both of these, Bharat Maharaj, Maharshita Ketu, but it continues. It continues in the next life. Although, it's not worth hanging around it to continue. It's too high risks. If it'll Satya Yuga or the heavenly planets or something else, but hanging around on the earth in Kali Yuga, in Coventry. It's not worth risking it again. Could end up in South Hall. Even worse, what to speak of Liverpool. Hare Krishna.
Question. Anybody got any questions?
So nice, this version of the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, I don't like the new one. It's too small a print. You know.
The small?
Yeah, small print.
We just printed a couple. We have a small one. It's the voice like the people like it on the street. Printed another version that's almost like
for
this,
temples,
which is
yeah.
Greek. The color is really beautiful. Really beautiful. I think I just drove up from London this morning. We stayed in Leicester. Well, anyway, I just wanted to... I just couldn't fit anything in, or at least... No longer physically possible to just sort of do everything. So, I'm going to go to Leicester this time, go to Scotland. I didn't have as much time as last year because GBC didn't start very early this year. Score printing is very early.
Yes.
It was beginning of March. So, yeah, our meeting start. Well, when do you have to be there?
3 days before. We're starting on the 9th? 12th.
We're starting on the 12th.
Okay, so we have to be there for 9. But I'm going on the 3rd. Sanjay is getting married on the 14th of February. So I'm going there and coming back.
What are you coming back to?
He's the eldest one. So.
14th. So you won't be there for.
And then I go back on the 16th. I take Guru Maharaj to Bharat. Because he'll come from South Africa. So
tomorrow,
after 2 or 3 days, then I go back. do it while we're young. Are we ready? We'll take Darshan.
Okay, let's take Darshan.